never seen anybody play that. morning. It's good to see all of you out today, and it's nice to have the bright, sunny sunshine coming. And let's go ahead and take a look at our bulletins. And just a few things that we want to note. We do have a number of upcoming events. Next Sunday night, Andy's going to be preaching, so be sure to be here for that. And then the following Sunday, on the 16th, we'll be having the Himes with us, and we support the Himes. They're missionaries to Peru. So be sure to come on the 16th. It's been a number of years since they've been able to be here with us. And so they'll be reporting to us and telling us how God is working there in that country. And then on the 23rd, in the morning, Shepherds will be here. And Shepherds is a ministry with mentally handicapped people. And they'll be here and sharing with us their ministry also. Also want to have a quick business meeting tonight. We've gotten a couple estimates as far as the cement ramp in the back, and we'll be talking about that this evening. So be sure to come tonight. And then also Karen Randalls, she has a new address. She's at University Park Nursing and Rehabilitation. And the address is there on the back of the bulletin. Very good. Also, it's graduation season, and here in the church we have at least three people that I know of that will be graduating. Marshall will be graduating from college, and Andy will be graduating from the seminary, and then also Lori Draper will be graduating from North High School. And that's right, Steve, isn't it? Yep. Okay, and I hope I haven't forgotten anyone else, but time of celebration there, big events in our lives. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here this morning. We are reminded time and time again of how good you are to us. And even as we look outside and we see the flowers and the green grass and the clouds and the trees, we are reminded of how great you are. You are just an amazing God. I thank you that you are the only true God. Help us to worship you. And help us to tell others in this world, that you are the true God, and that you have loved us, that you do love us, and that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, and that we may have eternal fellowship with you. And so I do thank you for this time where we can get together, where we can worship you in spirit and in truth. And I do pray that we would have a desire to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And I thank you that you have saved us, not to just live however we want, but you have saved us to live lives of holiness and love. So I do pray that you'd help us to grow together and to build one another up. I pray that we'd be praying for one another too. And I do thank you for answered prayers. I even do pray for a number of requests. I thank you specifically that Taylor is doing better right now. We've been praying for her. She'd been in Blake Children's, and she still is. But I thank you that she'll be getting out soon. I pray that you'd watch over her and her family. I do even pray for others. I think of Diana Negretta. She'll be having a cataract removed here soon. I pray for the Randalls as they have various health struggles. I pray that you'd guide them as they have various decisions to make. And so many other things. I pray for Bob Burkhardt. I pray that you'd strengthen him. I even do praise you for how you have helped them with their recent move, Bob and Maude. And so many things to thank you for. Thank you that you are in control, that you love us, that you want the best for us. And so I do pray that you would help us even this morning, help us to have our focus upon you as we sing songs of praise, as we give in the offering, as we study your word. I pray that you'd just impress upon us how great you are. Help us to serve you. So we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's begin by standing together this morning. Turn your blue psalm books to number 59 as we stand. I sing the mighty power of God. 59. verse. Look at it again. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky. Think about that. Woven in that little verse is not only God's power demonstrated in our own lives, in what happens to us, but in nature. Think about that. As you look out today, it's a beautiful day out there. You see the nature, you see the grass growing, you see the trees. Where did they come from? God created them all. And they continue on, they reproduce and continue on. And then also it talks about the life, our the own testimony of God's grace and our own life. Have you felt that this week? Have you seen His power working in your life? Let's sing that final verse with that in mind. There's not a plant nor flower below that but makes thy glories known. Light your fire, your wood is wet. You can go ahead and have a seat. And while you do that, turn over to number 415. 415. Stands like Jesus. 417, next page. three of you? Good. All right, let's go again. We're going to have some learn together. Verse 2. Morning. If you open up your Bible to the book of John, our scripture reading this morning will be from John chapter 17 and verses 6 through 19. John chapter 17, verses 6 through 19. All right, and Christ says, starting in verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. We've been in John 17 the last few weeks, and we've been reading Jesus Christ's prayer. This is incredible. If you haven't experienced prayer in its truest sense, maybe you won't understand, but to listen to Christ pray to the Father is incredible. You get a sense of the awesome power of God. In this hymn, Be Thou My Vision 382, which we're going to sing in a minute, we also get a sense of that. Just a little hint. The music is woven wonderfully with the words, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. In this prayer that we are going to hear about from God's Word in John 17 that Jesus Himself prays, you get a feeling. It's almost like if you know Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit within you touches for a moment His Spirit, and you can just feel the passion, the eminence of who He is. And with that in mind, let's sing Be Thou My Vision 382. Let's stand together as we sing. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. All that Jesus is, and nothing more and nothing less. Precious Christ is, who He is. And we're going to get to see that a little bit in John chapter 17, how He prays. But then, because of all that, we're going to sing verse 4. High King of Heaven, my victory won. Let's sing. This morning, while we remain standing as we pray for the offering. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus Christ again. We cannot thank you enough, Father. It is because of Him that we live and move and have our being. Father, it is because of Him that we exist and that we are even here. Father, I pray that with each breath we take from this point, we would thank you. Thank you for the fact that you have given it. Father, if we know your Son, if we have come to a saving knowledge and faith and the finished work that He did on the cross, I pray, Lord, that we would be wonderfully, hysterically thankful with gratitude because He saved us. Lord, because not only have we been severed from the penalty of sin, but Lord, also the guilt. And now that you have given us, because of that, you have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Lord, I pray that this morning as we draw nearer to Christ by being able to see how He prayed, Lord, in His most tenderest of moments, Father, let us get just a hint of who He was, a better, clearer picture of who God is, who You are, manifested in Your Son. I pray, Father, that we would not close our hearts out to the truth that He was God and He was awesome, that He was incredible beyond anything we can imagine. Father, that His compassion was beyond any that mankind could conjure. Father, that His wisdom was beyond anything that we could think of. That His tender mercy, Father, that His selflessness was beyond our comprehension. And Lord, let us see that and know that You have given us that same strength. Lord, that we would surrender ourselves to who Christ was, that we would be content to know who He is. Lord, that we would not decide that we want something different and add to who He is or take away from who He is, but Lord, that we would see Him in His clearest light just as He is. Give our minds wisdom. Give us clarity of thought that we might see exactly what that is, Father. And let us be willing to accept it, even if we don't like it, even if we see ourselves differently and wish that we could change who He is into our own image. Lord, let us not do that, but let us only see Him for who He is, and Father, be convicted to change and to be conformed into that very image of who Jesus Christ is. We thank You that He is our Savior, Lord, and because of that we know that He holds all things in His hands. Lord, the very things that we own, Lord, the things that we have worked hard to labor for, even those are His, Lord. And the amount that we have, the increase, Father, we know that we have only as His blessing. And so, Lord, I pray that we would give this morning with that heart, with an open hand. Father, not just giving what we put in the plate, but giving our very lives, holding open our hand, Father, saying to You that what everything that is here is Yours. Father, whether You keep it in our stewardship or not, it is Yours. And Lord, let that be our heart's desire today. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray this morning. Amen.
Children can go ahead and go downstairs to Children's Church. Amen. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do praise You for who You are. You truly are Almighty God. You are a God who is so very holy. I thank you that even though you are so mighty and so holy, I thank you that you love us, that you reach down, you did a work in our lives. I think it is through Jesus Christ that we can have eternal life with you. And so I do pray, even as we look into your word, we thank you so very much for it. I pray that you'd use your word to change our hearts, and to challenge us, and to convict us. I pray even that we'd be so very grateful for who you are, who your son is. And I pray that you just help us. And so we do thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Isn't it good to know that someone has your back? Does someone have your back this morning? Do you have people that care about you? Do you have people that care about you that know, that you know are watching over you and are there for you whenever you need it? There's people in this life, in this world, that are loners. And that's a hard life, being a loner. Thinking that you have to go it alone and just be independent and be self-sufficient. But yet it's not good and it's not healthy to be a loner in this life. Because by God's design, what are we? We are social creatures. We are meant to live with one another. We're meant to support one another and encourage and help and reach out to one another. We really need each other, don't we? And ultimately, we need God. Without God, we're totally lost. But as born-again believers, we need each other. And we need to be there for one another. And one of the privileges of being a Christian, and there's many privileges, many responsibilities also, but one of the privileges of being a part of the family of God is praying for one another. Isn't that a blessing? To think that we have access to the throne of God and that we can pray to God and leave before Him our requests and our needs. Not just our own needs, although we do have many needs of our own. But you know what? What a blessing it is to be able to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. What an opportunity that is. So why do we pray? I suppose there's all different types of reasons why we pray. But why do we pray? We know in the Bible it tells us to pray, doesn't it? It says pray without ceasing. And so we may think, well, I pray because I have to, because I do it to be obedient to God. Or maybe someone in the congregation here asks us to pray. And what do we respond? Well, we respond, well, yes, I will pray for you. And so we feel like we have to pray out of a sense of compulsion. But yet, I think, really, if we truly are praying, our real motivation for praying is because we have a concern for someone. Not just because we feel like we have to obey God, not just because we feel like we have to because we said, yes, I would pray for you. But really, I think the real reason why we should be praying is because we care for people. We love them. Truly, as we pray for people, we have a vested interest in them, don't we? As we pray for them, we have a desire that God would do a great work in their lives. Whenever we pray out of a heart of love, our prayers will just flow naturally, won't they? We'll have that desire to pray because we care about them. Not just because we have to. Now think of all those, as an individual, think of all those people that pray for you. Do you know everyone that prays for you? I'm sure you have an idea of some of them. Now, if you're young enough and your parents are still alive and they're born again believers, I'm sure you have a confidence that your parents pray for you. And personally, I am sure that my parents pray for me. And I think especially of my mom. My mom is a very godly woman. I know beyond a doubt that my mom prays for me. That means a lot. Something about a mother's heart. Mother's Day is coming up soon. And we can be so grateful for our mothers. If they know the Lord, they're praying for you. At least that's what we hope. I'm sure many of us have that assurance. But you know what? It means a lot, doesn't it, that to know that people are praying for you, that they really care about you, that they want God to do a work in your life. Now, we saw 2 weeks ago, as we looked in John chapter 17, we have a perfect example of the best prayer warrior that ever set foot on this earth. And who was that? That was Jesus Christ. Now, you'd think, well, Jesus really doesn't need to pray all that much because Jesus is God. And He doesn't have any sin issues to deal with. He doesn't have a sin nature that He struggles with constantly. But yet Jesus Christ is someone who realized the importance, the necessity of prayer. Because Jesus had a perfect relationship with His Father. And it wasn't a chore for Him to pray. It was something that He wanted to do. And we saw 2 weeks ago how Jesus went to the mountain and prayed. And He prayed all night before He had the major decision of choosing the 12 disciples. We saw in the first 5 verses of chapter 17 of John, you can turn there with me, John chapter 17. We saw in those first 5 verses of John chapter 17 that Jesus prayed for Himself. He even prayed that He might be glorified. And Jesus knew better than anyone that whenever He was glorified, then the Father would be glorified. And we also saw that God is glorified in the greatest of ways whenever lost sinners, people who don't know Jesus Christ, whenever those people come to realize who God is, who Jesus Christ is, and believe on Him for their salvation. God is glorified when lost souls are saved. And God is glorified whenever Jesus Christ, when He was on this earth, whenever Jesus Christ manifested the Father to the people, God was glorified. And so Jesus said in verse 1 of chapter 17, "Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you." That was the Lord's desire, that in everything that He did, that the Father would receive glory, that His name would be lifted up. What an incredible example for us. As we pray, we need to be praying that the Father would be glorified. We come now to the second section of Jesus' prayer. We noted a couple weeks ago, the first section, verses 1 through 5, Jesus prayed concerning Himself. The second section, verses 6 through 19, Jesus prays for His disciples. And in the last section, verses 20 through 26, Jesus prays for those who would yet believe because of the disciples' witness. We come to verse 6 now of John chapter 17. And what does Jesus say? "I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word." Have you ever thought about this fact? If you are a born-again believer, you are a gift from God. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a gift from God. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but God has given certain ones to His Son, Jesus Christ, and they are gifts from Him. And Jesus is saying that concerning the disciples right in this passage. Before time began, God had handpicked certain ones to give to the Son. God the Father had handpicked certain ones to be taken from the world, that evil system that is controlled by the devil. God had picked certain ones to give to the Son so that they might become a part of the kingdom of God. And so whenever Jesus was on this earth for some 30 years or so, He didn't just reveal the Father to every single person on this earth, did He? What Jesus says here in verse 6, that He revealed or He manifested the Father's name to the ones that the Father had given Him. The gift of revelation, the gift of realizing who Jesus truly is, that gift is given to those who are the gifts of God, to Jesus Christ. What a wonderful blessing as we let this sink in. Those who are blessed by God are truly blessed, aren't they? They're doubly blessed. It is the gifts of God, those who have believed in Jesus Christ and those who will believe in Jesus Christ, it is those people that will be doubly blessed. They will be blessed with the gift of knowing Jesus Christ in a very intimate way. How thankful we should be as children of God. God has just showered our blessings upon His blessings upon us. And so those that have realized who Jesus Christ is, who God the Father is, for those who have been shown the truth of God, they have heard the Word of God, haven't they? They have recognized not only the written Word, but the living Word, the Word. And as Jesus speaks concerning his disciples here, they couldn't read the Bible like we have today, but yet they heard from the living Word, the Word of God. And what does Jesus say here in verse 6? They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now, the disciples didn't understand everything that Jesus had told them. They didn't understand fully the scope of God's revelation. But yet it says here that they have kept your word. Now, what does Jesus mean whenever they have kept his word? And I believe what Jesus is saying here, even though the disciples didn't understand the fullness of God's revelation, what did they understand? They understood that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God, that He is the Lamb that is sent from heaven to die for the sins of the world. And the disciples understood that, and they obeyed that. They kept that word. They believed on what Jesus had said concerning Himself. They believed that Jesus truly is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. We come to verse 7. The disciples not only realized that, but they recognized what Jesus said. Its source wasn't in and of Jesus Himself. It had come from the Father in heaven. Verse 7 says, "Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you." There wasn't one thing that Jesus said that was His own concoction. Everything that Jesus said and everything that Jesus did came from where? It came from the Father. And the disciples realized that. And whatever Jesus received from the Father, He didn't just keep it to Himself, did He? He passed it on. He passed it on to the disciples. And even today, as we realize, God has given to us His Word, His revelation. But what do we need to do with that? Do we keep it to ourselves? No. We want to share it with others, don't we? So that they too can realize who God is and what He has done for us. We come to verse 8. What does Jesus Christ say as He is praying? "For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me." So Jesus knew the hearts of men. He knew those that just outwardly followed Him, but yet there was no heart change. Jesus knew that the disciples truly had believed in Him, the 11 anyway. And He knew that their belief was genuine. And they knew, and Jesus knew, yes, the disciples believed on Him, and that they knew and believed that God had sent Him into this world. And as we look at this, this is kind of a different prayer, because right now Jesus is just basically putting down statements of fact, isn't He? He's telling the Father, well, this is the way things are. And usually whenever we think of praying, what do we think of? We think of bringing all of our requests before the Lord. But yet, prayer isn't simply pouring out all of our requests to the Lord and all of our needs. Praying to God also involves telling the Lord how things are, repeating to Him promises from His Word. And that's really what Jesus is doing here. God the Father already knew these truths that Jesus said in verses 6 and 7 and 8, but yet Jesus was reiterating them. He was recounting them to God the Father, not because He didn't know, but because He wanted to tell the Father these things. And really, as we look at these things, these are the basis, the foundation for why God should answer His prayer concerning the disciples. We come to verse 9. And what does Jesus say? "I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours." Who does Jesus pray for? He doesn't pray for the world, for that satanically controlled system. No, He prays for those who had been given Him from the Father. He prays for the ones who are His and who are God's. And we think of this here. And we even think of Jesus' words here. Yes, Jesus had received these as gifts, but yet they are still God's. So whose are they? Are they the Son's or are they the Father's? Is there a competition here as far as whose people we are? And really, we look at this, there's a oneness in God, isn't there? God is one, revealed in three persons. He is the incarnate God. God the Father, Jesus Christ is the incarnate God, but the Trinity, God, one God in three persons. But yet, we are God the Father's and God the Son's. An amazing thing. But we ask ourselves here, even as we come to this, whose are we? We are Jesus and we are the Father's. We are God's. We come to verse 10. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. So whatever Jesus possesses, they are also the Father's possession. And whatever the Father possesses, they are the Lord's possession. There's a mutual ownership, a mutual responsibility here. But really what Jesus is praying here, glorification. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. The disciples gave praise and exaltation to the Father. They made God's name well known. They made God famous in a good way. Is that how we're living our lives today? Are we living our lives in such a way that God's name is made famous throughout the world? But soon Jesus is going to be leaving. We come to verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. And this really is the first request that Jesus mentions in his prayer. And what does he say? Keep through your name those whom you have given me. Jesus realized soon he would be gone. Soon he would have ascended to the Father in heaven. And while he was on this earth, even as we'll see in verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. But what is Jesus praying to the Father for here in verse 11? Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. So what is Jesus praying? What Jesus is asking the Father here is that he would keep the disciples in his name, that name that had been given to Jesus. And I think what Jesus is asking the Father here, that the Father would preserve the disciples in their loyalty and in their faithfulness to God. He was praying that they would remain faithful to God and remain faithful to the cause of Jesus Christ. And it was with the goal that they might be one as we are. Jesus prayed that the disciples would have a unity in their faith, that they would be united in Jesus Christ. We read in verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So when Jesus was here on the earth with his disciples, what did he do? He kept them in your name. So Jesus truly did keep them in the unity of the faith. Except, we read also in verse 12, there is one of the disciples that truly wasn't a follower of Jesus Christ. Judas, even though he outwardly appeared like one of the 12, he appeared like he was a disciple, a faithful follower of God. But yet Judas, even though Jesus had chosen him, he wasn't truly a follower of God. Jesus says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Jesus kept the disciples in their unity, in their faithfulness to God. He kept them together. But yet he says, none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And Judas, even though he appeared to be a disciple, even though he appeared to be one that defected from the faith, the fact is, Judas Iscariot was never a born-again believer. He was just an imposter. He was a traitor. And Jesus says, I have kept these disciples unified in the faith. And Judas, he never was one of us. He is the son of perdition. He is destined for destruction, destined for eternal punishment in the lake of fire. We come to verse 13. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. What Jesus is praying here, it is for the disciples' benefit, it is for their ultimate joy, and a fullness of joy. How do we have joy in God? It is only as we love Him and obey Him. We don't have joy all the time if we aren't living for God. We go back to chapter 15 of John and verses 9 through 11. A true and a living faith is a faith that is lived out in love and obedience to the Lord. We go back to John chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. And what does Jesus say here? As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So Jesus has a desire that the disciples would have a fullness of joy and even praise to the Father concerning this joy. But that presence of joy, it doesn't mean there's not going to be any difficult times in our lives. A joy can be present in all different types of circumstances, can it? We can have joy whenever we're sick. We can have joy whenever we're being persecuted. And whenever we're being defrauded. And whenever we're being slandered. We can have joy at any time in our lives if we're living in love and obedience to our Father. Jesus continues on in his prayer in verses 14 through 16. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And so Jesus, even as he prayed earlier in verse 13, verse 13. Jesus was going to the Father, and he was speaking these things that they may have their joy fulfilled. Now, how is this joy going to come about? It's not that the disciples will be going to heaven with the Lord Jesus right away. You'd think, well, that would be the ultimate experience of joy. But yet we can have joy, and we can have fulfillment in this life, even whenever it's the most difficult of times. Jesus says, I have given them your word, and it is through Jesus' word that we have our life, we have our being, that we can have victory. Jesus says, I have given them your word. What happened as a result? And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So whenever Jesus Christ gives to us his word, and whenever we accept that word, whenever we live by that world, what is the response of the world going to be? Is the world going to just take us in with open arms? Is the world going to be loving us and saying, hey, you're okay, come on in and have a good time with us? The world isn't going to respond like that. Whenever we live for God, whenever we live like He wants us to, living a life based upon the Word of God, we are going to have difficult times because the world, that satanic system, and the people that are in under that system, they are going to hate us. Because Jesus Christ, through His Word, has saved us and taken us out of that world. And so as believers, what type of a life should we be expecting? We should be expecting a life of joy, but yet a life of persecution and hardship and trials. The Christian life isn't just a bed of roses, is it? The Christian life is hard. And whenever we share the gospel with people, we shouldn't give them the expectation that everything is just going to be easy and rosy, because it isn't. Because the moment you're saved, you're no longer part of the world, and the world is going to hate you. It's not going to be easy, but yet God gives us the power and the strength to persevere. And He will give us joy. And so Jesus is praying for the disciples, not that they would be taken away from the world that hates them. Jesus is praying that the Father would enable them, even as they live in this sinful world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. That's a wonderful prayer there. Jesus didn't pray that we'd be separate from the world. As far as being in heaven, one day we will be in heaven. But Jesus didn't pray that of the disciples right now. He said, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, because they had a mission to perform in the world. What did Jesus pray? That you should keep them from the evil one. And who is that evil one? It is Satan. So Jesus Christ prayed for the disciples that they would be protected from that evil one. And isn't it a wonderful truth that no matter what happens, we're safe in the hands of God? Even though the devil would love to take children of God and wrest them from God's hands, even though the devil would like to do terrible things as far as our spiritual condition, you know what? The devil cannot do anything to us that God does not allow. And the moment that you're saved, we are eternally secure in His hands. Now granted, we may have difficult times, we may have persecution, but yet Jesus has prayed for the disciples, and He even has this desire for us right now, that we'd be kept from the evil one. Verse 16, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Are you separated this morning? Now, Jesus doesn't want us to just be in a little monastery where there's just believers. No, Jesus has given us a mission. He gave the disciples a mission, and by application, He has given us a mission. And we'll see this later on. But in verse 17, what does Jesus pray? "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Jesus prayed to the Father that He would sanctify them, that He would set them apart. And how does that happen? It is happening only by the Word of God. It is only by God's holy Word that the disciples would be set apart to God away from the world. This morning, do you want to be sanctified? Do you want to be set apart? And how are you set apart? It is only by God's Word. Do you have the desire to be holy? Do you have the desire to do only what God wants you to do? Do you have the desire to shun everything else? And we say, "Yes, I have that desire." Well, how does that come to pass? It comes to pass by immersing ourselves in the Word of God. And it is only as we immerse ourselves in the Word of God and obey it that we are sanctified, we are set apart to God. It is God that changes us through His Word. That's the way it was with the disciples, and that's the way it is with us today. We read in verse 18, as Jesus continues to talk about this, "As you sent them," or "sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." So why did Jesus pray that the disciples wouldn't be with Him in heaven right away? Because Jesus had a mission for them to perform. Just as the Father sent Jesus into the world, and what did Jesus do? He proclaimed the Word of God to lost sinners, and souls were saved. And people recognized who God the Father was. So also, Jesus has sent the disciples into the world. And what did the disciples do? They proclaimed who God is in His revelation in Jesus Christ. Jesus has sent them into the world. Verse 19, the final verse here. "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." Well, we think, well, that's to be expected, that Jesus would pray that we would be sanctified. When we think about Jesus being sanctified, well, what does that mean? Jesus was set apart, wasn't He? He was totally set apart from any sin. But I think here what Jesus is saying, "For their sakes I sanctify myself." What was Jesus' mission on this earth some 2,000 years ago? His ultimate mission, His ultimate goal was what? To die upon the cross of Calvary. Was that something that was a rosy experience for Jesus Christ? Was it something pleasant for Him? Not by any means. But yet Jesus says, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself." Jesus Christ was totally set apart, totally determined to do the Father's will and to die upon the cross, no matter how hard it would be. And it was for the disciples' sake, and by application for our sakes, that Jesus Christ was determined to die upon the cross. Isn't that a wonderful blessing that we have? It's because Jesus Christ died for us, because He was determined to go to that cross and be the perfect sacrifice. It is for our sakes that He set Himself apart, with the goal also in verse 19, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So if Jesus Christ wasn't determined to go to the cross, there's no way that we could do anything of worth in this world. And it is because Jesus Christ set Himself apart to the work of the cross that we, the disciples first of all, but we also are sanctified by the truth. We are set apart to live for God. We are set apart so that we may perform the mission that God has given us. And what is that mission? It was for the disciples, but also for us to go out into all the world and to spread the gospel. And that's really a given. That should be each and every Christian's desire. That is each and every Christian's responsibility. Go out, spread the gospel, and disciple the nations. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord Jesus, He has a concern for people. He He cares about the disciples, and he prayed for them. But you know what? Jesus also cares about us today. And even as we look at the last section next week, Jesus Christ prayed for us. Isn't that a wonderful comfort? He prays for us. He prayed for us back then, and he is praying for us even right now. He is interceding at the right hand of the Father for us right now. Jesus prayed for his own, the ones that the Father had given him. And Jesus' prayers, his prayers will always be answered, won't they? There is not a case when Jesus' prayer would not be answered. And so Jesus prayed these things concerning the disciples, their joy and their setting apart. And Jesus, as he prays for us, he wants us to have a victorious Christian life. He wants us to be living for him. Are we following the Lord's example today? Do we care about people? Are we praying for them? Are we praying that the Lord would be glorified through their witness? Are we praying even for the lost? Now, Jesus here prayed for his own, and we need to be praying for fellow believers, but we also need to be praying for the lost, praying for their salvation, so that they too may become a part of God's family. What an encouragement, what a challenge for us. May we be more like the Master. Jesus Christ is the Master. He is our perfect example. He is our Savior. And may we have the desire to live for him, to be just like him. Lord, may you enable us to live faithfully for you. And may we experience the peace and the joy that only you can give. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you have shown us in your word. I thank you for Jesus, how he had a burden for his disciples and how he prayed for them. How he prayed for them that they would be kept by you, that they would have a ministry that is only possible by their being set apart by you. And I pray that even we would have a desire to live for you, that we'd be reading your word and living your word, that we'd be set apart to you, that we'd be sharing with others the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray even that souls would be saved and that souls would be discipled. And so I thank you for these things. Help us to be living for you and be faithful to you. So we pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
In a minute, we're going to stand together and sing 364. I know it's 342 in your bulletin, but we're going to sing 364. My Jesus, I love thee. Let's stand as we close and sing that. Look at the first words, though. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. If you know that Jesus is yours, that he is yours this morning, the question then is, do you love him? Have you seen his worth this morning? See, love means that you're willing to give something up for that person. It means whatever they need, you're there for them. For thee, then it goes on to say, all the follies of sin I resign. Do you love Christ today? And are you willing then, because of that love for him, to give up the sin in your life? With that in mind, let's sing, My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine.
This morning. The only way that we can love Jesus is because Jesus has first loved us. And if we love Jesus truly, what does that mean? That means we're going to obey what he tells us in his word. And so often as people, our natural tendency is to be pickers and choosers, right? So as we read through God's word, we pick the things that we like and we'll say, yeah, I'll do that. But as we continue reading on, there may be something that really hits us hard and we say, well, I don't really want to do that. But do we have the desire as born-again believers to do God's will no matter what? To be fully set apart to him. Jesus Christ prayed concerning the disciples, sanctify them by your word, and your word is truth. It is only as we are living in light of God's word that we are able to be sanctified. We have that desire to live for God, to go out and do His will, no matter what.
Let's sing verse 3 as the last. So much again. Father, we can't thank you enough for the truth that is your word. Thank you, Father, that we have a glimpse, a clear glimpse of who Jesus Christ is in John 17. Lord, I pray that if we do not love you, Father, if we do not understand what it is to love you, Father, if we do not understand what it is to pray or who you are, Father, if there are any here that do not know you, Father, I pray that they would give up the pride that it takes to believe that the guilt that they carry, they can continue to carry, Lord, and to give that up to you, to Jesus Christ, who has already paid that penalty for that guilt. I pray, Lord, that if there be any that is hearing the sound of my voice, that they would realize that you have even orchestrated them to be here this morning. Lord, that you are ready and willing to save them. That Christ is standing there, Father. It says in your word, a true and faithful saying is this, that Christ came to save sinners. Father, I pray that we would see the sin in our lives, that those of us who do know you, who have already received the gift, who have already had our sins washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, Father, that we would visit again upon that time about what happened in our lives, in our hearts, Lord, that we would realize how of infinite worth it was, that we would once again realize the sacrifice, the love that you showed to us, the debt you paid in our place, and Father, that we would turn again our hearts toward you in love, thankfully, Lord, because you have done this for us. And Father, because of that, this love that's so amazing and so divine, Lord, that we would give our soul, our life, and our all. And Father, as we do that, we thank you, Lord, that you have promised your joy and a peace that passes all understanding. Lord, that all that is ours would be yours, that all that we are would be Christ, and that He might be preeminent in everything. Father, that no longer will people see the Church of Norwoodville Baptist, but Father, that in it they would see Christ, that in each and every one of us there would be Christ. And Lord, as we grow closer and more intimate with you by reading your word, by seeing who you are, even in your prayers, that Lord, our lives would be, we would choose to be conformed to that image, that by your grace we would work and toil to take time to be holy and be made into his image. Oh, let that be my desire, God. Let that be our desire. And Father, may you grow this church, not in number, if it be your will, Father, but most of all, in fruit of the Spirit, that Father Christ might be in all and in all, and that we may see you as you truly are, and rejoice that not only are you who you are, who you are, but Lord, that we also are being conformed to that image. And it's in the name of that man, our God, the God, the man in the flesh, God in flesh, it's in his name we pray. Amen.